Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and welcome to Read You Later, a fun, captivating show that discusses the best in arts, politics, community activism, and literature. And this evening, we have a man who is on the move, Dr. M. Stanley Butler. Now, he may be new to Read You Later, but this is a man who is not new in the world of nonprofit, the world of organization, the world of just getting your act together. So I would like to welcome to Read You Later, Dr. M. Stanley Butler. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, as I was stating to Dr. Butler earlier, I was like, well, Dr. Butler, what would you like to discuss? Because he has an extensive portfolio of people, and it is very refreshing in this day and time when the world would have you to believe that our African-American males are not achieving, that they don't have strength, they don't have knowledge. Here I am hosting the man that holds not only great academic scholarship, but he's also well-versed and he's well-known in his field. So Dr. Stanley Butler, I'm glad to host you this evening, and so we can break these misconceptions of our African-American male. Prior to you coming on the show, I was just reading how, facts prove that African-American males and African-American fathers, rather, they're very involved in their children's life. They do cooking. They do the homework. They do bath duties more than their counterparts. And so this is the common misconceptions that people have about our African-American males that we need to eradicate. And I am glad to have a man that's going to help me to eradicate these misconceptions tonight. So once again, welcome, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you.
Now, Dr. Butler, you're known for your consulting work and your writing. So let's dig down. How did you become this great entrepreneur and this great entrepreneur that you have managed to have a global audience that you're able to motivate and cultivate?
Well, as far as the audience goes, I would say that that's basically because God blessed me to get exposure.
Amen.
I've been very fortunate to meet good quality people who knew good quality people, and the name got around, and that's how I was able to expand on some of the things that I was doing. How I got into it, however, I would say back in the 90s, I'm a man of faith. My parents were pastors, and at the time they were pastoring a church, and we were having a revival. And after the revival service, a guest speaker came to me, and she asked, what is it that I did? And I told her that I was an accountant. And at the time, her accountant had died. And she asked me, have you ever considered taking on any clients? And I say that's the moment that the light bulb came on, where I realized it was everybody has that aha moment. And so that's what I started doing. I started taking on clients. And the clients that I took on were within the realm that I knew, which was the church. So I started taking on other ministries and other churches and doing bookkeeping and accounting. And from there, taking on all of these ministries, they all had a common issue, and that was they always needed more money than they had. And so that got me into grant writing and doing funding research and things of that sort. And so over the next, I would say, 10 years or so, I really became self-taught regarding nonprofits and nonprofit administration and IRS compliance and things of that sort. It was that find a need, meet a need situation where I was dealing with faith-based organizations that had a zeal, but didn't necessarily have a lot of knowledge as to how to effectively run an organization. And so that's what I stepped in to do. And then later on, I...
Now, you, I know you give a lot of the credit to God, which, you know, reading your biography and your media kit, I can tell immediately that you were a man of faith. Now, and I know that God, he most definitely orchestrates our steps, but did you find it hard to initially step out, especially if you were in a position of comfort? Did you experience a self-doubt? Or did you have the naysayers stating that, man, you're pretty comfortable right here. You may feel a little awkward going out. Did you experience that? And if so, how were you able to combat it?
Absolutely. What I did when I went out, I would go out and I would present myself as a consultant. And I could go in and I could assess an organization and I could tell them what was going wrong in the organization and I could give them action steps as to how to correct it. But I would only allow myself to go so far. And the reason why I would only go so far is because at the time when I went out and I started doing consulting, even though I was doing it internationally at that point, I did not have a college education behind me. Or I hadn't finished my college education. And I was always, one thing that I've always hated is to be embarrassed. And so I always had this fear that somebody was going to call me on the carpet and embarrass me. And so because of that fear, I would only go so far. And there were opportunities that were presented to me, and I let them slip by because of that fear.
Wow.
Now, different people deal with it in various ways. My way of dealing with it was to address the issue. The issue was that I had to finish my education. So I went and I finished my education, and, you know, I went further than I expected that I would educationally. But that was my way of dealing with it initially. Now, as I came, in my opinion, you know, and I often tell people, because some people, when they acquire degrees, they become very haughty and prideful. In my opinion, education only sheds light or shines a light on how much you don't know. That as you grow higher, as you go higher and higher in academic success, you begin to realize just how ignorant you really are. So why in the world people become prideful is beyond me.
True.
But what it did teach me was that the issue never was the education. The issue really was me. And having a confidence and the ability that God had invested in me, and not only that, but in the purpose that he had designed for my life. And
wow.
How
can you speak to the young entrepreneur or the person who has a mindset to perhaps launch out on their own or want to switch careers, and they feel perhaps apprehensive, or they feel that fear? What words would you speak to them?
I would say that's where faith comes in. And
faith,
you know, people try to define faith various ways, and sometimes, you know, even the quoting of the scripture, sometimes it becomes very hollow in the way that people use it when they define faith. But the Bible lets us know that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to move out of the way. Another way of looking at faith is a total absence of doubt. So if you have a total absence of doubt and you throw a single mustard seed into that arena, it'll cause miracles to happen. Sometimes what the biggest thing or the biggest hurdle that we encounter, it's really getting over the doubt. Over the years, I had various people who came to me and they prophesied that I was going to do specific things and that how the work that I did was going to help people. And it sounded good and it got me excited for the moment, but there's always a space of time between when the word is spoken and when the fruition of that word comes to be.
I like that.
I like the time of preparation.
Preparation. Oh, Dr. Butler, awesome. Because a lot of times people think that manifestation is immediately. And we know that we serve an on-time, right-time God. But sometimes, like you were saying, preparation, sometimes where he is guiding us, we're not prepared at that moment. And he doesn't want us to fall flat on our faces or be an embarrassment to ourselves or whomever. So it's that time you seek his word, you get on your face, but you prepare for it. You just blessed me and you blessed somebody right there. Preparation is the key. Keep on, Dr. Butler. I got happy. Okay, you keep on.
So, you know, once preparation meets the faith, we already know that God qualifies us. But it brings everything full circle so that you have an awareness not only of who God is, what the purpose is that he's designed for you, but you have an awareness of who you are in him and that ability to accomplish far beyond what you dreamed. But at the base level, the accomplishment has to be according to what it is that God has designed so that you're effective in the area that he wants you to be. So anyone who has doubt, the secret really is to press into God to really get to know who God is, because when we begin to really see who God is and who he is within our lives, a type of clarity begins to come over. And we begin to see that different opportunities open, and those opportunities begin to lead us down those avenues that we need to pursue. And we just learn with every step that we take.
Amen. So let's talk about the steps that you are taking at this point. So I know that you have a lot to offer people because you have a lot of different skills. So can you tell us about your organization and exactly how people can connect with you, and if they are in need of some of the skills that you have that can propel them to the next level. So what do you do, and how can people connect with you? So let's start with what do you do?
Okay, well, I have a nonprofit organization called Striving Toward Excellence in Public Service, Inc., and in short is STEPS, Inc. And what STEPS does is we as STEPS, we serve to bridge the gap between the public sector and the nonprofit sector. If you recall in the Bible, there's a mention of a city named Goshen. And Goshen was a place where people were able to go and get resources in the time of famine. I believe that the church is being forced back to a place where it used to be, where there before social services was in place and they were passing out EBT cards. When the people had a need in the local community, they went to the local church. The church has gotten away from that. My organization is really there to help nonprofit organizations, not necessarily specifically churches, faith-based organizations, nonprofits in general, to prepare themselves to stand in the gap so that they can help their local communities. And so the services that we provide are accounting services, financial management services. We help individuals who desire to be change agents within their community and have a vision to positively impact the community in which they live. We help them to establish nonprofit organizations and to do it correctly. We also do quite a bit of grant research and proposal writing. We do business plan development. In short, basically, we provide all of the services that you would find in middle management, because many small nonprofit organizations may not be able to hire an accountant, or they may not be able to hire someone to come in full-time and procure goods and services and things of that sort. We step in to help them to do those things and to establish them so that they have the capacity to grow. In addition to that, the organization has a educational component, the STEPS Institute for Management and Learning, and we provide online courses an instruction for leaders or individuals who want to be leaders, to teach them various aspects of running an organization and how to grow that organization, how to grow themselves so that they can be more effective leaders. So I would say one of the big initiatives of our organization is we're trying to assist communities, the large metropolitan communities, where we still see unemployment and underemployment. Because even though we're hearing that the unemployment rate amongst blacks is at its lowest point ever, the unemployment rate is still double that of Caucasians. And the other issue is that oftentimes a job is not really the answer. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, and one of the things we used to say is a job is just over broke. And for many people, even college graduates,
almost definitely,
you know, they come out and they get a job, but what they find out is that they're underemployed.
They're underemployed, and they can barely manage the student loans and with the household expenses. And, a friend and I were talking about this earlier, where our grandparents, who my grandmother had perhaps a sixth grade education, I may be giving her 2 grades, to be honest with you, but she was able to come out, secure a job, own a home and things of that nature with limited funds. But now with inflation and other things, a lot of peers my age aren't able to obtain the same quality of life that my grandmother did, and they're making more money, but they're not making, as you were saying, enough money. So underemployment is such a huge issue. And what you were talking about being the undergirth to give people the opportunity, the funding opportunity, organizational opportunities to help communities, I was just reading where the current person that resides in the White House, he is proposing eliminating the one of the energy missions that in turn help to supply heating and heating costs to our elderly and people and disabled in poverty. And I know that a lot of people think that that's going to attack one demographic, but if you do your research, a demographic that's probably going to hurt the most will be our elderly, our disabled, and those people that voted for him in West. So what you're talking about in this show is so timely. If we're doing our research about all the proposed cuts and budget cuts, it will probably be within the next several years, actually, that the church and a lot of these other organizations, faith-based or not, will have to pull resources and galvanize in order to help their flock and congregation. Will you not agree?
That's correct. A lot of organizations, both faith-based and secular, will need to learn how to collaborate once again.
Mm-hmm. And I thought about this as I was preparing for the show. I was like, wow, this is so terrible. You know, God does everything in time. And I do believe that you and I were supposed to – I was supposed to host you one time last year, but I had other obligations, family obligations. But, you know, God is the restorer of time, and this show is so timely. And I'm going to make sure that I share this information not only on my show, but talk about you during the course of this week and next week on my social media platforms. And I have the opportunity to moderating the Christian Fiction Weekend Retreat in Fayetteville with 100-some readers and I don't know how many authors and all da-da-da, but your information and what you do is so timely. And I'm thinking a lot of people will be interested in what you're doing and what you bring to the table, because we do have to be – my grandma always said, baby, you got to rely on yourself. We do have to be self-reliant and self-resilient. And I always end my show, regardless of what's going on around you, know who you belong to. So this is a very timely message. So how can people connect with you and learn more about who you are and what you can bring to their organization?
Our web address is www.stepsofexcellence.org, and I can be emailed at Dr. Butler, drbutler@stepsofexcellence.org. We have an 800 number, 877-447-0900.
Now, Dr. Butler, I know that you're a renowned consultant and that you have a global presence, but I'm sure that you would, if possible, would also speak and come to various events and workshops and church groups. So how can people connect with you, and what are some of your criteria prior to accepting engagement?
Well, most of my speaking engagements, I have another site. It's mstanleybutler.com, and it has more of my my information regarding topics that I speak on, as well as it has a booking form on there. So you can go on there, you can fill out the booking form and submit that, and then my secretary will contact you and get additional information if necessary. And then basically it's just me speaking with someone from the organization to really see what it is that you're looking to accomplish.
All right. Now, Dr. Butler, I know that you're a busy man, so I know that you must have a lot on the table. So how can we support you in any endeavors and future endeavors that you have?
Well, one of the I won't turn away any assistance with an economic support program that I'm launching called the Economic Cube. And with that Economic Cube, we are identifying six metropolitan areas where we can develop young adults to become entrepreneurs and business owners.
Awesome.
Any community that might identify an individual that you feel would be a good candidate to go through a six-month program where we teach and train them the principles of business ownership, development of their credit, business plan development, and really turn them into full-fledged business owners, you can submit those individuals' names and any financial contributions as a donation to that program would be appreciated.
Awesome. Now, what gave you the idea to launch this program, the Economic Cube? Did you see that there was a need in our community? I know that you are a servant. Anyone looking at your bio can tell that you are a servant. Do you feel that it was a need for you to give back?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's definitely a need within the community because of the unemployment and underemployment. But one thing that I found very interesting was the our history as far as Black Wall Street and those individuals in Tulsa who became the most wealthy blacks in America. And I studied what they did and how they did it to identify, well, what was it about them that made them successful? And so I took a lot of those components that I identified and what they did, and I began to wrap a program around it with the goal in, you know, not only developing business owners, but developing a network of business owners who understand the concept of collaboration and reinvesting into your community and then teaching other people so that you can establish legacy. And so I feel like that is something that we as black people need within our communities so that we can excel.
Awesome. And not only in Tulsa, I'm from a very small town in Danville, Virginia. I only live an hour from it now, but we had our own identity. We had Alma Grove, which is a incorporated township. In Durham, there were incorporated communities where people had their own business and economic. In a lot of towns in the United States, prior to segregation and prior to even prior to segregation, 1940s, there were spots of town that actually were incorporated, not in that township or city per se, but their own incorporated city and towns had their own post office, hospitals. And once people saw how successful some of these businesses grew, then there became rezoning. And we're going through that now, gentrification. It's just something that occurred in the 40s and the 60s that's occurring now. So I am glad that you are taking up the cause and seeing that. But if people will study history, we will see that a lot of people don't even know how important and how powerful, how strong our voices were when everyone collectively worked together. So I applaud you and your team for what you're doing.
Thank you.
So once again, can you give us the contact information where people can connect with you?
Sure. My web address is www.stepsofexcellence.org, and my email address is drbutler@stepsofexcellence.org. Phone number is 877-447-0900.
Okay. And if you will do me a favor, my listeners, if you would make sure you would retweet or Facebook or tell your coworkers tomorrow, the water cooler, email someone about the programs that Dr. Butler has undertook, because it is fascinating, but it's also very powerful when we can collectively galvanize our resources and rebirth. You know, it's the birthing process, but really it's a rebirthing process because, you know, we've been pregnant too long. It's time for us to birth some of these babies. So personally, I would like to thank you for not only coming on this show, but I'd like to thank you for the work that you and your team are doing, and I pray God blessings upon you and all your endeavors.
Well, thank you. I also want to invite your listeners. If you register at my site, stepsofexcellence.org, you'll receive a free ebook called Nonprofit Nuggets. Nonprofit does not mean non-profitable. It's a free download and a free gift for anyone who registers.
All right. Now, thank you for coming on. And for all my listeners, thank you for continuing the support. I really appreciate it, and I pray blessings for you. And from my house to yours, and from my reading shift to yours, read you later and have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Good night.